Check. Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Scheman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings, salutations, hello everybody. It is a Tuesday. I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepherd. It's the Scheman and Shepherd Show on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Chris on the other side of the glass. I am waiting for my apology from the NFL. That was garbage last night.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. And yes, you deserve an apology, Senator. I tweeted to Mr. Vincent.
Oh, you did?
I did. You hear nothing from that idiot.
No.
You know, all these guys that are out there. I tweeted at him about 20 minutes ago to Troy Vincent Sr. And if you don't know Troy Vincent Sr., he's the Executive Vice President of NFL Football Ops. I simply said, any comment on the awful officiating this season and the mass confusion between coaches slash refs slash fans slash earthlings? Because they are supposed to meet today. They're having their like quarterly or third of the way through the season type meeting to discuss issues surrounding the National Football
Speaking
League.
Of tweeting out Pete Shepherd, Barry Sanders, who has never said an ill word in his life, tweeted out twice saying what a travesty the officiating was in last night's game. Today, the Detroit Free Press tweeted out, final Packers 23, Lions 22. Lions blow a 13-point lead, settle for 5 field goals, have multiple blown calls go against them. But on the bright side, in 5 billion years, the sun will swell into a red giant, vaporize the earth, and obliterate all evidence that this game ever happened. Fact.
Jack Del Rio tweeted out last night, 4 major blown calls, all 4 went against the Lions. DB going for the interception, call for unnecessary roughness, a non-call and a blatant DPI, which we just saw a few minutes ago again. Then 2 ridiculous calls for hands to the face and Trey Flowers, who's never been called for that penalty ever.
Ever.
Refs can't guess and can't get these wrong. Lions would have won by 2 scores. Now, you can make the case they should have turned a couple of field goals or at least one of them into a touchdown, and I understand all that. But your Lions got hosed last night. There is absolutely no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And as usual, the explanation is not good enough.
No, I'm glad you feel that way. We will continue to discuss. There are many things there. Also, LeBron James opened up his uneducated mouth, and he has made the whole ChinaGate situation twice as bad as it was before when they were in China. We'll explain how in case you missed that story. We'll have a lot of fun today. Well, you won't. Pete is, we're both under the weather, still, but I think you...
You guys sound like it.
I think I'm about 24 hours ahead of Pete. Pete feels today like I felt yesterday. Anytime you talk, your throat just needs to cough.
Yeah, I actually feel okay. Just sneezing and hacking away here. But
my head feels like it weighs 25 pounds. What does the average human head weigh?
8 pounds.
8? Mine feels 25.
You made that up.
Well, that's what Jerry Maguire said, or the kid in Jerry Maguire said.
Oh, okay. Well,
mine
is filled. It feels like it weighs 25 pounds. But having said that, we're gamers. Not only are we here today, we've got poker tonight. We're still going. And we'll be there at the Naples Fort Myers Dog Track, 7 o'clock tonight. $100 bounties if you knock us off. Everybody's invited. We have a few more snowbirds in town now. I'm expecting a bigger crowd tonight. That means more money.
We had a big crowd last month.
Yeah, we did.
One of the biggest tournaments they've had on a Tuesday, and that was over 70 people. It'll be hopefully double that tonight.
So we've got
more money, more chance for you to win.
That's right.
And they also have the high hand jackpot as well, which applies to our tournament.
Yeah.
So every hour or every half hour, they do a high hand. So you can win up to 200, 300 bucks.
Bam! Right there. Yeah. Cash. So come on out and see us there. It's Tuesday. That means we do Red Alert Tuesday. I've got a long list today.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I might make cuts. I don't know if they're going to make the airwaves or not.
I got 11.
Wow, do you really? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And I mean, none of them are really stretches.
I also have 11.
Maybe one stretch.
I also have 11. So if there's duplication, I will cross mine off the list.
Big Ten growing into, it's supposed to be top five, red alert.
But it is popular.
It's really become just red alert.
Also popular is Master Pete Theater, where Pete reads lyrics from rap songs as a white guy. We're going to do our first ever duet today.
It is. And you're going to love it.
It's going to be good.
It's a classic.
So we're going to. And then, Chris, are you going to critique the CNOTE NFL power rankings that are up on our website, 993ESPN.com, and Pete's top 10, the real top 10 of college football?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, look, I'm not going to nitpick here like, oh, this team is clearly the fourth best team, not the fifth best team.
Right.
That's not what this is about.
Right.
This is taking logic, applying it to one team, and then taking that same logic, throwing it out the window, and not applying it to another team because of biases.
Talking about Craig?
But that's okay. Biases. We're going to get into all
so
that.
You're obviously talking about Pete's college football top 10.
No, not at all.
Oh, no. There's just one team that stupid Boise State, why they're still there. Why are all the teams Pete roots for stupid? I don't know how it's turned into that, how it's morphed into that on this show.
That's also, you know what else is the common denominator?
What?
All undefeated.
Yeah, they've also, none of them have played
LSU,
anyone.
LSU, Boise State, Patriots.
No, don't go and pretend like you're an LSU fan now. Don't do that.
I said my team that I picked to win the whole thing is
undefeated. No, I'm not talking about your LSU pick. That's fine.
Yes.
It's your Smurf Turf team.
I have one problem.
That doesn't play anyone.
I have one problem.
Well, isn't the Smurf Turf like 14th? I mean, they're almost in the top 10 legitimately.
Yeah, they're 14th.
Who have they played? Florida State is by far their toughest opponent.
Okay. All right.
By far.
There's more than scheduling that comes
into
play.
I think there's a Sacramento State worked into there.
No.
Once again.
Portland State.
Portland State. People take logic, apply it to an SEC school, but not apply the same logic to a Mountain West school. But that's okay. We'll get into all that later on in the show.
It goes into, I look deeper, inside. All it's right. Not just all external.
Yeah. So we got all that coming up. It's a big show. We're looking forward to it. Time now for a SportsCenter rundown. He's going to take a cough lozenge over there.
We got 30 seconds right here that I can buy you guys.
All
right, turn the mics off. Do what you got to do.
Here's Chris.
Your mics are still on. All of that plus game 3 of the ALCS today from the Bronx. The Yankees host the Astros. That series tied at 1-1. Gerrit Cole gets the start for the Stros. The Yankees going to hand the ball to Luis Severino. The Yankees will get Aaron Hicks back from an injury. Giancarlo Stanton still sidelined for the Pinstripes. Last night, the Packers beat the Lions. Packers now 5-1 overall, 3-0 in the division. The Lions resume their place at the bottom of the NFC North at 2-2-1.
He put that in on purpose.
He sure did.
How about this stat that just came up, okay? According to NFLpenalties.com, Green Bay leads the NFL in beneficiary yards. Which this year, is when a team's opponent is called for a penalty. The Packers have accrued 501 yards through penalties.
Wow.
Guess who's dead last with 234?
Detroit football.
Shazam. Yes. Detroit
Lions. The league hates us. You know,
dead last
the
with
NFL
234.
Needs to realize what a great story it would be. Because Detroit's actually got it, one of the better teams I've ever seen them have this year. That doesn't show on their record. Mm-hmm. It just shows on the eyeball test watching them. You know, they don't realize what a great story they have on their hands if the Lions were to actually do something. It would capture America. Like the Browns and the Lions, these are stories that the NFL's missing out on. Now, I feel like as the resident Lions fan, I feel that I need to make a statement about last night's game, a press release, if you will.
Yeah.
So here are my thoughts on the game.
So like your Craig Sheeman manifesto about the Lions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. First of all, I'll be the first to admit, I mean, 5 field goals and 1 touchdown. If any of those other 5 field goals are touchdowns, they win the game.
Mm-hmm.
If Matt Stafford can throw 1 touchdown pass, they win the game. When they held the Packers to a short field goal, but then had 12 men on the field and gave Aaron Rodgers a new set of downs and he scored a touchdown, if that doesn't happen, they win the game,
mm-hmm.
although there was a time that the Packers had 13 men on the field. And with
no call.
And no call. How do you miss 13 guys?
Not 12.
Not 12.
13.
13.
Missed it.
So having said all that, If you turn field goals into touchdowns, we're not even talking about this today, I don't think. Now, let's dive into these egregious referee calls. You mentioned Trey Flowers, not once but twice in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Flag field, illegal use to the hands, and he never, or illegal use of the hands to the face. Both times, the Lions' defense was going to get Aaron Rodgers off the field. It was over. It was third down. And they gifted them a first down both times.
Yep. Awful.
At critical times in the fourth quarter. Upon further review, in slow motion with Booger McFarland, at no time was anybody's face touched. Nobody's neck was touched. He was grabbing a shoulder pad and shoving it upward. One of the most egregious calls times two I've ever seen.
And Blakeman, the official, said, then explain what the umpire who threw the flag, Jeff Rice, saw on the fouls. Get ready for this and puke. The umpire threw both of them. That last one was really the only one I've discussed with him, Blakeman said, which is why there's only one.
Cleat.
Basically, it's for illegal use of the hands to the face foul. To be a foul, we basically need some forceful contact that's prolonged to the head and neck area. So in his mind, he had pinned him back. It was prolonged, and that's what created the foul. No, what created the foul was you fell for an almost NBA type of soccer flop.
Yeah.
That's what you felt. That's what you felt.
You can't call penalties that affect games based on what you think you see.
Yeah.
You have to actually see it. And he did not.
He assumed.
What's this guy's name? This guy's name's Jeff Rice.
Yeah. On a guy, by the way, who had never been called for that penalty in his career.
Never in his career.
He was doing it this whole way. He was doing it the Patriot way. He was doing it the way he learned when he was a Patriot.
Wow, they're not stupid in that term, are they?
No, that's the right way to do things.
They were taught.
Now, let me go back to the first half. Trace Walker was diving with his hands stretched out for a breadbasket interception. Ball was coming right at him. Then the receiver comes into the picture. They both collide on the ground. Trace Walker even lowered his head at the last second to drive his own head into the ground so he wouldn't hit the player. He gets called for unnecessary roughness. Another game changer in the first half.
It was pathetic.
What is he supposed to do?
I'm actually, they're all so bad. This could be on the poll. Which penalty was the worst one?
How about Marvin Jones when he was slapped across the chest with pass interference and there was no call?
Yep, no call.
Matt Patricia decided not to throw the red flag because, as you pointed out yesterday, red flag overturns on PI calls, 1 for 24.
And then Lions offensive end Romeo Okwara posted and later deleted a tweet featuring a photo that, I don't know why he deleted it, featuring a photo that appeared to show Green Bay's offensive lineman David Bakhtiari's hands in the face of a Lions defender and included illustrative arrows. Why did he delete it?
Coward.
Probably can he be fined by the NFL?
Probably. But it's out there, so why not?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, Trey Flowers has got all the media around him. The whole team's dressed and practically gone. He's still in his pads and jersey trying to explain what he did and also trying not to get a fine by the NFL.
But getting back to your Barry Sanders, his tweet was, "That is sickening. The NFL needs to look at a way to prevent that from happening. Two phantom hands to the face calls really hurt us tonight. Yes, we could have scored touchdowns, but Lions played too well to have the game end this way."
Fact.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's a division game. First place was up for grabs, so now the Lions are in last place and the Packers are in first. But that's worth two wins right there because it's a division game.
But it just goes back to what happened all weekend. It's a bad look. And again, they're meeting today, I think, in New York. They're third of the way through the season type of meeting where they're supposed to get together and try to fix or correct or hash it out. I mean, I can't even imagine how long some of these meetings are going to be. And they need to have somebody come out, and not just the way the dumb NBA does it, where it's just like a two-minute report on alleged bad calls. Let's do it the right way. Have these officials hold press conferences. Be accountable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Explain it. Now, yeah, it might be throwing salt into an open wound, and I heard Field Yates say that today as he popped into Lebertard's show. I get that, but still. At least it gives some people some closure. Now, you may still disagree with it, but at least they'll give you an explanation as to what the hell they are thinking. This is, to me, they are guessing.
They're guessing. They're guessing. And it is my understanding, I've always known we've had a couple of NFL officials that live here in Southwest Florida. I've run into them on airplanes before coming home on a Sunday night. Texter has informed me for the 239 that Jeff Rice, who made those two calls on Flowers, lives in Naples.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a sports fan. Jeff Rice, I, Craig Sheeman, have a message for you. Turn up your radio on 99.3 ESPN. You suck. Have a nice day.
Smiley face emoji. Yeah, well.
In fact, why don't you do us all a favor and retire? Thank you.
And Barry Wolf on the text line says refs should get fined or suspended for horrendous calls. Well, they do sometimes. They get fired, too.
Sometimes. I've only heard of
sometimes.
It once.
Sometimes.
Mr. Rice, if you're officiating a Dolphins game at any point this year, I've got no problem with you.
That's the thing, though, Chris. This moron, Jeff Rice, he'll only make these calls against the Lions and the Dolphins. You never see, like, the Patriots or the teams like that get these kind of calls that cost them games. I can't remember one time a Patriot's been cost due to a bad penalty.
I'll show you several. You forget.
When? In 1978.
No. Yes, that was egregious, but yeah. Besides that, yeah. Sugar Bear Hamilton, Phantom. Jeez. But that's a long one. But no, let's stick with the game at hand and the season at hand.
It's over.
We thought last year was bad. This is horrible. It is so bad what is going on. I just go back to Kelsey getting mauled yesterday or on Sunday. And then this, and I mean, there's some blatantly obvious calls, that pass interference call you talked about last night where the Detroit receiver got mauled. That was egregious.
I know.
Not quite as bad as Rams Saints last year, but really, really close. And Matt Patricia was afraid to throw the challenge flag out because nobody overturns it. And yeah, I don't blame him, but man, oh man, I don't know how you just take somebody one hand and throw them down and not have a flag.
Who was the official in the booth for ESPN for Monday Night Football? Who's that guy? I get them all mixed up because it seems like everyone.
I'm not going to remember his name right now.
He had no response to any of these.
No.
He was absolutely, he's like, oh my God, the officials messed it up again.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm getting a lot of texts about this Jeff Rice clown. Apparently he's an attorney here in Southwest Florida.
They're all, that's not the point. I'm sure he's a very nice man. This isn't personal. This
well,
is
I hope you don't suck
this
as an attorney as bad as you are as an NFL
from the
official.
Guy you're sharing
to me,
a room with.
It's about it's professional about his the way he handled his play calling on the field last night, which was atrocious.
I hope
most of these guys are attorneys and teachers and professors and doctors or whatever.
Mr. Rice, I hope you're a better attorney than you are an NFL official because you stink. You suck out loud. You sucked through my television last night. You ruined my day. You ruined my perfect weekend because I don't know, Mr. Rice, if you know this. I went 8-0 in my pigskin picks on this show, and I went 6-0 for Skittles on the side with my other situation. It was a perfect weekend. What? It was all coming together. It was going to be capped off by a Lions win on Monday Night Football, and we were going to be in first place, and you bleeped it up!
And Craig Sheeman earlier before the show, when they were showing the replay on ESPN as we're prepping for the show, took his Mountain Dew plastic diet Mountain Dew bottle and heaved it at the television in protest.
I can't look at it anymore.
Well, I'd get used to looking at it.
So what
yeah, Walker, oh, that's what, all we're going to see all week long because all of America agrees with us.
Why don't you sue the NFL? You're emotionally damaged.
Saints fans tried that last year. Didn't work.
Yeah, you know what? That's
what law firm? What law firm is Mr. Rice with? Do we know?
I do know. We're not going to say that on air.
Oh, okay.
But yes.
You know what? Forget about it.
The show?
I started the show asking for an apology from the NFL. No, I want one from Attorney Jerry Rice in Southwest Florida. You call me Craig Sheeman, 239-337 ESPN, and apologize for doing a horrible job last night and pretending to make calls of things you were pretending to see that you actually didn't see.
It's Jeff Rice, by the way, not Jerry. Jerry's a football player.
Did I say Jerry? I was a little verklempt.
Yeah, Jeff Rice.
Sorry. Yeah. 239-337 ESPN.
Jeff Rice.
In fact, I'll give you the hotline if you want.
No. No,
Blakeman,
no, no.
Blakeman, doesn't let Jeff Rice explain it. He explains it for him.
Cleat.
They actually have a rule, I think. They're not allowed to do
well, that's a problem.
Any media.
And lucky
NFL,
for them. Cowards.
The NFL needs to come up with a way, whether it's money, whatever. You got to come up with a better system than what they have. It's just that simple.
The whole world knows it. It's not, look, I almost hesitate to even mention it because I'm the Lions fan in the room, but, I mean, the whole country agrees with me. It's all you see on TV today.
Yeah. I think you've done a pretty good job covering it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Green Falcon says, I once threw an apple at my TV thanks to Gary Hogaboom with Dallas back in
Gary
the day.
Gary Hogaboom.
Why did you throw an apple? Who sits down, watches a football game with an apple?
Yeah, I'm with Chris. There's a lot of things wrong with this statement.
Gary Hogaboom was what, late 80s?
Well, I don't know the reference of Gary.
He was with the Dallas Cowboys,
yeah,
and I think the Colts
he was after. Yeah, he was after Danny White.
He was a replacement player. He broke the line.
Yeah.
He played during the strike
games. Because you're mine. I broke the line.
Physically exhausted right now.
Oh, God.
You got a long show ahead of you, C-Note.
Yep. Yep, and poker tonight. Tell you what.
He's going to be so aggressive. He's going to go all in right away.
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't want to knock him out tonight.
Yeah.
Have $100 wadded up in your face and thrown at your forehead.
6'3" is wondering, are you okay? He felt like Craig just blacked out a little bit on that rant.
I got a little woozy.
The shade of red on your face and the shade of red on your shirt were the exact same tone.
Really?
Unbelievable stuff.
Wow. Well, I'm bringing it. All right. I'm going to need to take a break. Because when I come back,
go take a lap.
My wrath is going to switch from the NFL officials, and we're going to talk about LeBron James.
Oh, great.
Because he pissed me off last
night. Just lovely.
Yeah.
Anti-American
Got
LeBron James.
Baseball going on? We could get into a little bit of that?
Nope.
It's a four-hour show, Chris.
Nope.
We'll get to it later.
Not yet. Yeah, and then LeBron James is challenging intellect of Daryl Morey.
Yeah. Let's compare that those apples.
That bastion of academia, LeBron James, is going to challenge Daryl Morey.
All right.
Because of an opinion that he has.
Numbers 239-337 ESPN. Don't forget fantasy football. Chris has put some Week 7 waiver wire targets up there for you.
Green Falcon clarified he was a teenager watching a football game with an apple.
Oh, yeah.
Makes it a little better.
Teenagers don't eat apples.
No.
You get all the fantasy football scoop from Chris at 993ESPN.com, brought to you by BMW Fort Myers and Twin Peaks. LeBron, you're next. We're coming after you. Sheeman and Shepherd, 993 ESPN and the 993 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepherd on 993 ESPN and the 993 ESPN app. Don't forget, tonight is poker night. Pete and I are going to head on down to the Naples Fort Myers Dog Track to play some poker at 7 o'clock. You are all invited to come. And if you knock us out, you get a $100 bounty. Both of us. So there's like $200 there up for grabs. There's high hand. More cash is flowing all over the place.
Yeah, baby.
Get yourself some. 7 o'clock tonight. All right. I'm moving on from attorney Jeff Rice.
Umpire.
Umpire. And attorney. Apparently has vision problems from last night's game. All right. Now, on to LeBron James. Just a quick recap. You know that the NBA was over in China playing a couple games.
Didn't go well.
Well, Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets, tweeted out 7 words. And for those of you who haven't bothered to see what they are or know what they are, the 7 words were, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. And that was a pro-democracy tweet, which has since been taken down. That pissed off the Chinese because they don't. They think they own Hong Kong, for one. Meanwhile, we got the NBA over there. Chinese government's all ticked off now at Daryl Morey. And the NBA actually makes more money in China than it does in the United States. So it's a bit of a sticky spot. Nobody was allowed to say anything. Press conferences were covered or were canceled.
Or banned.
Or banned.
Mm-hmm.
They all came home. They came to Los Angeles. LeBron's back with the Lakers in L.A. Cameras, freedom of speech back on. And he says that Daryl Morey was misinformed. Misinformed. Said he didn't want to get into a whole thing with Daryl Morey, but I believe he's misinformed. Well, what do you mean he's misinformed? Well, that's just my belief, says LeBron James. We've got some of the audio here. Let's take a listen. We got a couple of cuts from this before we go off on this.
Cut 7 first?
The first.
You tell me, because there's 2 of them here, right?
Well, if you're talking about Morey being uninformed, this is LeBron's comments on
that. Let's do it.
I'm not here to judge how the league handled the situation. I just think that, when you're misinformed or you're not educated about something, and I'm just talking about you know, the tweet itself, you know, you never know the ramifications that can happen. You know, we all seen what that did. Not only did for our league, but for all of us in America, for people in China as well. And sometimes you have to think through things that you say that may cause harm, not only for yourself, but for the majority of people. And I think that's just a prime example of that.
Let me help you out. Let me help you translate a little bit. That comes down to Space Jam, his movie, that he wants a billion people in China to watch, and Nike. All right? What that comes down to.
Who in the hell is LeBron James or anybody else in to question someone else's...
being misinformed.
Education. Really, LeBron? Really? You want to start getting into academics? Seriously? And no one's calling LeBron an idiot or anything like that.
I am.
You want to start talking about academics? You want to sit down and go head-to-head with him in a debate of some sort? That would be really, really interesting.
Look, I don't think anything LeBron said right there is wrong.
To call somebody not educated on the subject is ridiculous.
LeBron is coming from a position where he doesn't want his bottom line to be affected.
Right.
And he knows that if the NBA is cut off from China, that will ultimately happen to him. Not just him from his basketball contract, but all the dealings that he does with Nike and his own brand. He's putting his bottom line before free speech is what he's doing.
And I think that's despicable.
It is despicable, but not totally unexpected. And again, I say, who in the hell is LeBron James to question anybody about their education and about who and what he thinks is misinformed? You know what, LeBron? You're misinformed. I question you and your education. How about that?
LeBron, LeBron barely made it through high school.
Let's have a real serious debate about, really, LeBron, let's have you up on pay-per-view against Morey and have a real serious debate about the Chinese-Hong Kong issues. See who wins. My guess is I'm going with Mr. Morey.
I have looked up his educational credentials. Daryl Morey has a BS in computer science at Northwestern and an MBA.
Gee, what a crap school that is.
And an MBA from MIT.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fact.
Really?
Too many initials there.
You know what those initials mean?
Brilliant.
He's a smart guy.
He's a smart. Now, he may not be, we could disagree with him as a GM for the Rockets, but LeBron, you really want to start getting into education and academia? You are so outclassed, it's ridiculous.
Look, I think it's very funny that LeBron James, who has not been outspoken, you know, he's been outspoken in his career. He's, you know, one of the leaders in the NBA. I remember when the Trayvon Martin thing happened, the kid getting shot when he was on the Miami Heat. All the Miami Heat players came out with their hoods up for a game, kind of a sign of solidarity that they support, the kid in this situation. Well, it's the complete opposite now with LeBron James, where he's saying, "Don't mess with my money, Daryl Morey. I don't care about human rights. I care about my bottom dollar."
And because of the human rights, and because people are getting killed in Hong Kong, and because he's unaware, apparently, and putting his dollars before being the one that's informed. I mean, this is where the statement came from. Hey, just shut up and dribble.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane. And whatever cliche you want to use.
And I'd like to know from LeBron exactly what he means about misinformed. What was he misinformed about? Nobody followed up with that question.
Nobody had the guts to follow it up.
Of course not.
All Daryl Morey did is says, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong."
So where is LeBron when he says he's misinformed and not really educated? Okay, LeBron, expand on that, please. Please, share with us some of your brilliance that all us commoners down here don't know. A guy with 2 degrees, one from Northwestern and one from MIT. Isn't well educated and well informed.
And remember the story.
Are you freaking kidding me?
The story that came out yesterday that the Nets and Lakers wanted a little sit down with the commissioner over there in China because they were ticked off that they were put in the middle of all this. They wanted to know why Daryl Morey wasn't fired. They said if a player had done it, we'd be fired. Yeah, not really. Probably not.
Ugh.
It's unbelievable.
Reporters with no guts to follow up on questions. Like, what's LeBron going to do? Beat you up? Follow up. Why do you think Morey was misinformed? Why do you say that? I didn't hear one follow-up question.
No, I actually heard that question. And he says, well, that's just my belief.
Yeah, just my belief.
That's just my belief.
That's not good enough.
That was the worst answer I've ever heard in my life.
That is such a cop-out.
Is Enos Kanter misinformed when his dad is in jail in Turkey and they're trying to kill him every time he gets out of the United States to play a game in Toronto? Is he misinformed?
Oh, maybe LeBron knows. He knows everything.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337 ESPN. Kevin wants to talk Brown. Kevin, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate the call. Hey, I just find it kind of fascinating, a little hypocritical, about how a lot of these athletes jump all over the Colin Kaepernick bandwagon, you know, police brutality and, you know, and all that. But yet they're quick to take a dime from China, who is notoriously brutal regime. And, you know, we're seeing that live on TV every day. It just seems like contradictory to me.
It absolutely is. It's disgraceful. And you can make an argument it's very anti-American and anti-democracy. I want to see what the fallout is when people start looking at Daryl Morey's actual tweet standing up for democracy in Hong Kong and human rights compared to LeBron's quote-unquote misinformed. I hope he has a backlash from hell.
Oh, he's unfortunately, he probably won't. That's the problem. Yeah. He probably won't.
Yeah.
Taco Bell says, Pete, aren't you doing the same thing to LeBron that he did to the Rockets owner? What am I doing to LeBron? I'm asking him, who in the hell are you to question
somebody
that says that you're misinformed or not really educated? Where? Tell me exactly where you think he's uninformed or uneducated. Tell me. That's what I'd like to know. It's just my belief.
I think where LeBron was trying to come from is he didn't understand the ramifications that came with tweeting that out, especially when we had the NBA getting ready to go to that country. He did not articulate that, and that's a problem. When you're LeBron James and you have a camera on you, you better say what you mean, or else it's going to be misconstrued, contorted to fit everybody else's narrative. And I can't blame you guys for doing that right now. I think LeBron was coming from a position where Daryl Morey didn't understand the ramifications of his tweet. That's where but he didn't say that, so I can't defend that. What he said was, what the message he put across there, at least the one that I interpreted, was you're about to affect my business dealings in another country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to put anything ahead of my business dealings.
Right. And he also made the comment, like kind of an afterthought. He said, and maybe Twitter isn't the best route for Daryl Morey to go. LeBron lives on Twitter.
He lives
and
on LeBron Twitter. And Chinese can't tweet. Chinese people aren't allowed to tweet, by the way.
And he always stirs stuff up on Twitter. All the time. What's the ongoing story with LeBron if he's on your team? There's going to be drama. There's going to be secret little messages where you read in between the lines, and he does it on Twitter. So this is so hypocritical, it makes me burn.
It does. It's just ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. There's so many gutless reporters out there that don't have the guts to ask a follow-up question and let him get away with what's just my belief. Belief in what? Expand on your answer.
I would have liked a follow up to that.
Something,
but there was a follow up, and he just repeated it.
Yeah,
it's just my belief. That's garbage.
And
LeBron.
I'd say
that's garbage.
You're coward. You're being a coward when you say that,
or perhaps uninformed, and you have nothing else to say except you're upset that your wallet took a hit in China.
That's all it is.
No, that's exactly what it is, man.
It's all about the money.
It's exactly what it is. And if Steph Curry, if it had been the Warriors going over there instead of the Lakers, and it had been Steph Curry at the center of this, Steph Curry goes over there and does a ton of business with Under Armour.
Yeah.
A ton of business over there. All these guys do.
I would just say to LeBron, you are uneducated and misinformed about Daryl Morey being uneducated and misinformed. How about that? That's an answer that he can accept, because that's the same type of rhetoric that he spews.
Chris, there was another cut from LeBron.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen and dissect.
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times, there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl, Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand.
Wow.
And he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So... just be careful what we
spiritually
we say,
really,
and what we do. Even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that too.
Spiritually, really, explain that one.
He was on a roll, like in Animal House when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
Oh,
he was just rolling.
God,
he was rolling big adjectives.
It sounds so degrading. It just sounds so degrading, and like he's talking down to Daryl Morey.
It's very clear to me, at least, that I don't want to hear anybody who's been silent in the NBA. I don't want to hear their thoughts when a human rights issue comes up in this mm-hmm. country. I'm done hearing about it.
Yeah. Well, most people are. I think most
it's not human rights at that point. So now it's American rights. Like I'm confused here where the line of demarcation is for NBA players on what's right morally and what's right on a mm-hmm. fiscal level.
Right.
And if the balance weighs too much where I'm going to start taking that financial hit, well, then I'm going to shut up and not say anything.
The Wall Street Journal just did a piece, and they said this is the most disgraceful moment of his career. Wall Street Journal said that.
Mm-hmm. Not exactly a bastion of anti-propaganda business. They are all about business.
Yeah.
So they get it.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right, your reaction. I think we've unloaded in the last 45 minutes on the horrible officiating last night and LeBron James's horrible choice of words, in which he had a week of sitting on a bus in China to come up with this. I mean, because he couldn't speak when he was over there. 239-337-ESPN.
Got another OJ tweet later on as well that just came out.
When are we going to squeeze that in?
Well, we'll find a way.
All right, keep reminding me. Let's get in a couple of phone calls. We got Sound Street next. Jeff wants to talk LeBron. Jeff, go ahead.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's happening?
I know you're up against
That's
it.
All right.
So I want to agree with Chris in that this is, and so LeBron, he said what he wanted to say incorrectly, and that's why he deserves backlash. I don't think he was trying to say that Daryl Morey is misinformed about communist China. I think what he was saying is that Daryl Morey did not understand is that he put a lot of people in danger, and it can happen at an ill-timed tweet. And so I'm not trying to defend him, because when you're in the public spotlight, you need to learn how to speak, because words really do matter. And if you don't want to get into a word war, you really need to choose what you say very carefully when you're in that kind of political heat and spotlight.
But the problem is, though, is that he didn't go on explain when he was – the follow-up question, he said, just my belief.
Yeah.
He wouldn't get into specifics. Why? And I'm not doubting maybe that's what he thought.
He tried to double down slash correct a tweet later, and I think that's what Jeff is talking about.
Yeah.
And that was a very good call by Jeff, by the way. Let's squeeze in Greg, too, because we're up against it. Greg, go ahead. You're on with Shaman and Shepard.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. It's what we call convenient outrage with these NBA players. When it's a young black man that gets hurt or killed, okay, we're going to support that because guess who buys our stuff? When it's old, rich white guys who sign our contracts or other countries that sign our contracts, that's who we're going to support. It's all a matter of convenience with these guys. I don't think it has anything to do with true caring.
Yeah. All right, Greg.
See you at poker.
Thank you. See you at poker. All right.
Again, great sign off. It's all about the money.
Yeah, we play poker tonight at 7 o'clock at the Dog Track. See you all there. Sound Street next. More of your reaction at 239-337-ESPN. Shiman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Shiman and Shepard.
All right, here we go. The debacle at Lambeau last night. Mason Crosby with the game winner, gifted by attorney Jeff Rice, who was the umpire last night. Here's the 23-yard walk-off field goal. Packers win 23-22 ESPN.
Had the game winner on Monday Night Football last year to beat the 49ers. You know, everything that Mason, his wife Molly, have been through courageously, going through surgery to remove a cancerous tumor. Her lung this summer, and now to play hero again. And there it is. Walk it off and win it for Mason Crosby.
Next, Aaron Rodgers. Great to start now, 3-0 in division play.
Yeah, it's big. Obviously, last year we were so bad in the division, and this year to be 3-0 for the first time since 2012, Tom, thank you, is pretty pretty fun. We know what's in front of us. We got a stretch now of we got 7 games out of division and then finished with 3 in a division. So we got to put ourselves in a position, to make a run. And we've done our part so far in the division because obviously our division is deep and you got some really good teams.
Aaron, you thanked the wrong guy in the press conference. Jeff Price. Jeff Price is the guy's name that you should be thanking. Matthew Stafford says the Lions cannot sulk about the questionable penalties called against them.
You guys got better views of them all than we do. We just go out there and play. We know we're not playing the officials, playing the Packers. Calls are going to go your way, go against you. I got no clue which ones were close or not, but
all of them.
That's the way it goes.
And Jeff, they all went against you.
It's Jeff Rice, by the way.
Yes.
Is it Price?
Oh, my bad. Jeff Rice doesn't deserve to be called by the right name. Matt Patricia also taking the high road when asked about questionable penalties.
We all know we can't have those penalties, you know, whatever it was that caused those to take place. So we're going to go back, take a look at it, make sure we're coaching it better, make sure we're doing the right things, and just can't have them. We know how dangerous they are and how, detrimental those penalties are.
Here's Booger McFarland, who, by the way, had back-to-back good games, I think, on Monday Night Football.
I didn't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
The officiating has just been that bad where we haven't noticed it.
He's getting more comfortable.
Growing into the job.
I've enjoyed him the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely. And he also went off on the bad officials last night on ESPN.
But even as that clock is counting down, I know a lot of people talk about the officiating and where we are in 2019, John Perry. But when blown calls, when blatant calls cost teams football games, that's where we as players, the coaches, and even the fans in America, if we can see it, the officials should be able to see that. And I think that's why we're all a little bit disgruntled about how the game is being officiated and some of the plays are costing teams games with the wrong calls.
Yeah, I mean, 5-6 weeks into this season, we're seeing officiating beat.
And this is it with Trey Flowers.
It's a headline story, week in and week out. Boog, I get it. Mistakes are going to be made, but you know what? We're inside shoulder pads. We're on shoulders here.
Oh, please.
You know, I'm going to also give Booger McFarland some credit there. I don't ever recall in my entire career as a fan or a broadcaster ever remember an analyst ripping into the NFL's and the officials like that on a broadcast, which is a partnership between ESPN and the NFL. Kudos to him.
You can't be. You have to. Otherwise, you come off as a fraud. So kudos to him.
I mean, well, how would Troy Aikman have handled that? He sidestepped it?
Yes.
Or he said that's a shame and moved on?
He would have sidestepped it.
You don't like Troy?
No, I do. I'm just first name popped in my head.
Okay.
Tony Romo would have, predicted the next play or something.
But it's historical coming out now, and I'll just read you. This came out a little while ago. When a ball smashed into a photo of LeBron James' face that was struck above the hoop and dropped into the basket, the protesters in Hong Kong cheered. They also trampled on jerseys bearing his name and gathered in a semicircle to watch one burn. And again, James, standing among basketball fans in Hong Kong, took a hit after his comments about the protest and free speech. Fans gathered on courts amid Hong Kong's high-rise buildings today to vent their anger.
And I asked you earlier, is this coming to America? To what extent? I mean, it's kind of brewing today.
I hope.
When people connect the dots of what he said, and it's going to come across as anti-American, an anti-democracy. Mm-hmm. Are we going to have jersey burnings outside of road Laker games this year? Are we getting to that point, or is this going to be over with tomorrow? What's the shelf life on
James
this?
James Lowe said, quote, people are angry. He's a web designer who runs a Hong Kong basketball fan page on Facebook. Said he received a video from a protester that showed him burning a number 23 jersey bearing James' name. It's just, the people say, well, you can't win. It's not a great situation at all, and I didn't think LeBron helped himself today in this country by what he said about Daryl Morey.
All right, more on that. Would like your reaction. We pretty much set the table between the game last night, the officiating, and LeBron's comments about China and Daryl Morey. Your reaction next. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. We've got Red Alert next hour.
Red Alert!
We've got Master Pete Theater, the first duet ever.
Mm.
That's coming
That's
up.
Exciting right it, there. It I is. Wonder what it is. Is it Eminem and Dr. Dre? I don't know. It's,
you don't know.
Nobody knows.
So exciting.
Pete tells me we also have another OJ tweet. I don't know when we're going to squeeze it in, but we will.
May not put that one on because it's all political. What would
OJ?
Yeah, it's about what would the other four presidents do. Now I have to listen to it and see. I don't want to do politics.
All right.
I don't either.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.